T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
4:23. Time to visit House of 1,000 Beers, locations Wexford and New Kensington, the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town. He's one of the best baseball play-by-play men in the world. Pirates broadcaster Greg Brown, our guest right now, on the heels of Chris Archer undergoing surgery. He is now out for the 2020 season, if there's a 2020 season. Greg, what is your reaction to this story, Archer done for this year?
I know, Andrew, just shaking my head. Really, just shaking my head. It's, it's just the Archer just has not been, when he even has been healthy, he's not been great. He had like a 4.30 ERA down the stretch last year, and there was hope that he had figured it out. And but overall, I mean, let's be honest, it's not been good. And now this, you know, you wonder what the future holds for him, not just with the Pirates, but in baseball. It's just, it's kind of baffling to me.
Greg, one of the stories for me about this trade isn't just the personnel who went from each team, you know, who were swapped here, Glasnow and Shane Baz and then Austin Meadows. But in the case of Glasnow and Archer, I think it comes down to the approach. Like, it's inarguable when you look at Glasnow and what Tampa did with him in terms of how they wanted him to pitch, that it was vastly different from what the Pirates were preaching as far as four-seam fastballs versus two-seamers, and it's worked. So I have a hard time just evaluating this on, oh, wow, two guys for Tampa are playing really well now, one guy for the Pirates didn't, and now he's hurt, without acknowledging the coaching and sort of the instruction that they were getting in each place.
Well, the only thing I'd say to that, Chris, probably, if you look at it, I mean, again, we're being honest here, it's not as though Archer was. I mean, he at times, I guess he was perceived as the ace of the Tampa Bay Rays, but overall, his numbers really aren't that impressive. And I don't think he regressed when he joined the Pirates. I don't think he got a lot better, for sure. But I think he is what he is. And I know we've talked about the Glasnow thing. For me, untrained eye, just as a fan's eye, not getting technical, and I think a lot of that has gone on over the last decade plus. Obviously, with the analytics, talking about what a guy throws, when he throws it. I like guys that just get guys out. I try and simplify it for my simple mind. And I know that when Glasnow first came up, I said this to many off the air, he was a man amongst boys. His first spring training game, I will never forget it, down in Bradenton. I was with John Wehner. And he went through a decent lineup. I don't remember who it was. I just remember it wasn't the eighth inning when the A-ball players were in there. It was a strong lineup, and he blew them away. And he, from our vantage point up at then McKechnie, now Lee Com Park, good vantage point from the press box, from the broadcast booth. It was as if when he delivered the pitch, by the time he unloaded that ball, it was like, because of his long, lanky form, that his hand was halfway to home plate. And he was pitching to smaller people like children. And I know John and I just both looked at each other like, this guy is incredible. And I think along the way, it's understandable, I guess, because this is what happens to organizations. They get a prize piece and they want to make him great, and I remember talking about what he should be throwing in the minor leagues, and we're keeping him down there. He's going to throw more change ups, and they had this rule where a guy would have to throw 10 changeups, and on it went. And then when he got to the big leagues, I started hearing people talking about his pitch selection, and he needed to do this and that. And the thing that drove me crazy was they were so worried about his move to first base. And I'm thinking, who cares? I don't care if he walks 10 guys. He'll strike out 20. And they worried about his throws to first. Like, throw something else at this young kid's mind. Let him go. A.J. Burnett could have cared less who was on first base. They were stealing second and third on him, and he didn't care.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is with some pitchers. And I just wish. I wish they had just – because I remember, I hearken back, I'm old enough to have been there when Chad Hermanson came up.
Yep.
Who could, according to Woody Heike, walk on water. And I saw physically saw it in the Three River Stadium clubhouse when a bunch of people, a bunch of coaches, one went over to him, started talking to him, and left. And then another one came over and left. And another. And I'm thinking, what are they feeding him? And they never just let him play.
Yeah.
And I had a statistic at one point that year. He never started more than four games in a row because he would struggle and they'd sit him. Struggle and they never got going. Again, it's easy for me to say now. I guess it's a Monday morning quarterback, but I wish they would have just let him say, you are in the rotation, come heck or high water, and we're going to see what happens. And it's unfortunate.
Greg Brown with us here on The Fan. Chris Archer done for the 2020 season, underwent surgery today or this week. Greg, what do you say back to people who have concluded that this is the worst trade in Pirates history, that it's going to go down as one of the worst trades possibly in baseball history?
Well, it's too strong baseball history. I certainly won't go there. I mean, my goodness, anybody that says that is certainly, in fact, to a degree, we're jumping the gun a little bit. We're years away from knowing what Glasnow and Meadows do. And Shane Baugh's a nice guy and everything else, but I will be, again, very frank with you guys, and I'll watch it. I'm not wishing him ill will, or and I hope he does well. Nice guy. I never really was high on the guy, okay. Ever, when we draft the Pirates drafted him. I've said to other people, just for me, again, untrained eye, to me, he didn't have a pitcher's body. He's a weightlifter. He's tight. I think guys like that get hurt. So I'm putting that player aside. For me, Shane. So to me, it's coming down to Meadows and Glasnow. And so far, It's very one-sided in favor of the Tampa Bay Rays. If it continues along this path, it will go down as one of the worst in Pirates history. I don't know if it'll be the worst. And there are too many really one-sided trades in baseball history. Players that ended up, you know, winning championships with teams and going to the Hall of Fame were traded. To rank it up there, but if it goes along this path, it'll be certainly a top 10 in Pirates history, if not a top 5, unfortunately.
Greg, what do you have any kind of insight, or did people talk to you or let you know why they felt so comfortable? Maybe I don't know if they felt comfortable. I don't want to put it that way, but why the Pirates were willing to include Austin Meadows in this deal? Because that, I know Glasnow's a wild card, but he looked really good last year when he was healthy. Seeing Meadows hit almost 300, hit 33 home runs, even with home runs going all over the place last year, was tough to swallow, honestly. I think it was harder to swallow than Glasnow in some ways.
No matter how you put it, I guess, as you said, is the word comfortable. I know it wasn't comfortable. I know it was a very difficult deal for Neil Huntington to make. I know he heard from a lot of people in the organization, and I said this before, and I know we talked about it at the deadline when it actually happened, that I do believe the organization heard and felt the again, air quotes, pressure. I don't know if that's the word, but I think they relented finally after, you know, a lot of holding steadfast in their beliefs, and Neil at the top of that, not giving up top prospects. I just think that the drumbeat was the Pirates never go for the big trade. They never do it. And of course they had that great run of wins in a row that got them back into it. And it was just the perfect storm. And my argument has always been, it was like the Aramis Ramirez trade. I've said this for years when people said the Pirates didn't have any choice once it became public that they had to start unloading salaries way back then. when they traded Ramirez and others to the Cubs, my argument was that's all well and good that, you know, baseball knows the Pirates have to make the trade. Yeah, they're up against the eight ball in that regard to a degree, but it doesn't mean you have to trade a guy for nothing. There's no rule that says, you know, I remember when many times players have publicly spoken that they want traded, they want out, and great deals are made.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the point being that I think they felt the pressure to make a deal, and I think at the last minute they felt like, hey, let's just roll the dice. Let's show Pittsburgh Pirates fans, media, everyone, that we will go for it. This was the big prize. Let's remember that. People were laughing at suggestions that
You're
the
right.
Pirates would ever make a trade for Archer. And I'm just talking locally, writers and so on. Nationally,
yeah.
It was all the Dodgers and Yankees and Red Sox. No Pirates, no way. And then when they made the deal, with this elation for a couple days. And then, boy, stupid Pirates for making the trade.
Greg, it's incredible since the regime change happened. Look, I'm not Ken Rosenthal. I'm not out there bugging people to give me information on things. It's not my job. It's incredible how many people, since things have changed, have wanted to finger point at certain people for that trade. I said it because I'm comfortable saying it because nobody gave it to me anonymously. It's incredible how many people in the last few months have said that Frank Coonley was behind that trade. And it's amazing how many Pirates people have tried in the last few months to tell me how influential he was in baseball decisions. Like, that is something that it's... I don't know. Maybe you knew about that all the time, Greg, but I didn't know for 10 years that Coonley was trying to pull baseball strings. Did you?
I don't think he was trying to pull baseball strings. I think that certainly when such a high level deal was made, that Frank was very much involved in whether they should go ahead with it. And, you know, the McCutchen deal, the Cole deal, there's no question that he and Neil both went to Bob Nutting and said, we don't have to make these trades. We don't have to do this. We believe it's best for this organization going forward that we trade the franchise player, Andrew McCutchen. You are going to get crucified if we do this. And Bob Nutting said, do it if it's best for the organization. And it was not just Neil Huntington that did that. It was Coonley as well. So Coonley was very much involved, but you know, it felt like he was pulling the strings. It was. I think this was all done in concert. Ultimately, and I think you could ask Neil this now, Neil Huntington, he would say it falls on his shoulders, that deal.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if Neil goes to Frank and says, I don't want to make this deal, this is not good, Frank's not going to say, do it anyway. No way. No chance.
Yeah, but if your boss is really telling you, hey, this is something that would make a big difference, the fans want it, it would be great for the organization, you might be more inclined to make the trade. Right?
I could see in discussions Frank being there and Frank saying, hey, you know, as discussions are going on to talk about the deal, I could see Frank, hey, you know, pushing toward it. Hey, let's do it. But you're the general manager.
Right.
I like this. You know, I could see, I'm not saying he did it. I could see it happening. But again, ultimately, I don't think Frank would say, do this deal, make this trade, or else, you know. I think Neil said to Frank, hey, I think we can make this deal. I'm not sure about Archer. I think we could turn him around. Big ask, but we are, you know, we're having a big run here. The fans, Coonley's certainly very well aware of the fan base and the media attention, and you got to do something. And I think it just, as I said, I think it was the perfect storm, and they felt pressure to make a trade, and that big guy that was out there, star that was out there at the time, was Chris Archer.
Greg, you're not mad at us for how last week's interview went, are you? We were concerned with all the hangups and stuff. Yeah, we thought.
Let me tell you something. That was completely my fault, and I apologize. I was in a terrible area, and it was. I felt horrible because I didn't think it was fair to you guys, or to Craig for that matter. So my apologies for not being in a better service area.
But then we got concerned because I think you blocked me on Twitter after that interview. That was the revelation that I found, and I'm like, oh no. Did he think we were pulling his leg during that interview, hanging up on him a bunch of times?
I did not block you on Twitter. I wouldn't do that. So, no, I absolutely, 100%.
I'm blocked, Greg. I'm not allowed to follow you anymore. I'm blocked. I'm out. I've been shown the door by brownie points. No,
well,
more.
That's not right. I'm going to have my people check on that one. That something happened. Something happened there, because I would never do that.
And, Greg, I argued for you to get the Ford Frick Award once. That's how much you mean to me.
Andrew, as I said, what we, in fact, I don't know what was cut off last week, but I remember trying to talk to you guys about how this, there's an idea out there, for example, during the wintertime, so many people come up and say, hey, why doesn't Bob Walk like you? Why don't you and Steve Blass get along? What is it with you and Wehner? It happens all the time, and I laugh at it, saying, you know, what you hear is what you get with me and us, and it might not be comfortable. I get that. It really, it takes a while to feel comfortable knowing that I think what's best on the air for me over the years has been to be upfront, and I love debate. I love arguing. It gets my adrenaline pumping.
Oh, same.
I think people learn that way.
I'm the same way.
And I think, by the way, one of the problems with sports and maybe society to a degree, too many times discussions are shut down because people think it should never get personal. But people shut down arguing and discussing, and to your detriment, to our detriment, because I learn when I get into the arena, into the debate. So I never take it personally. I think you guys are great. I've told you this before on and off the air. I think you two are tremendous. I've been in your seat. I've listened to many around the country. I think Pittsburgh is incredibly fortunate. This radio station, in my opinion, if I listen to sports radio all over the country, overall, in a 24-hour span, they have the best overall sports station in the country,
wow,
for my money.
Wow. Greg, those are strong
words.
Have
no idea. You have no idea how many goofballs you hear. Because on the road, I'll listen to these sports talk shows. And I'll do a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, you know,
when I got the block, I thought it somehow you had misconstrued something as personal.
I will check with, like I said, I'll check with some of my people who helped run that, and I will find out what happened, because that no way are you blocked.
All right, Greg. Chris, anything else? Are you good?
No, I'm good, Pony.
Wait, we didn't do the DH debate. I thought we were going to do that.
Well, that's
today,
because the ace got shut down, Greg, so we're going to have to table that for another time.
All right. Okay, guys.
All right. See you, Greg. Bye-bye.
We'll see ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.